Salvation is powerful. It's not just a personal experience, but its power can transform your entire household. Hi, I'm Joy Dabo, founder of God Imprint. As a mom and as a wife, I discovered that God's salvation wasn't just for me. It was for my entire household. At God Imprint, we're here to help you establish a strong Christ-centered home, grounded in intimacy, in support, and unity. Join us to experience household salvation movement and the joy of a peaceful home in Christ. Well, I hope that you are doing well. Welcome. My name is Joy Dabo, and I am so excited that you are here with me today. So today we're going to be talking about the faith that is tested. Faith that is tested. What do we mean by faith that is tested? We have been talking about last episode about the faith and those who drop out of faith. The journey of faith is not just a journey that we begin one day and we complete it and finish. There's some bumps. There's some bumps on the way. There's some places where we get to hit the curve, the wall, and then we gotta learn to get up. Today, I want to talk to you about specifically the test, the temptation, because it's easy to think about other people, what they go through, and maybe think about, well, that will never happen to me. Well, why didn't they know it? Oh, I knew this person was going through it. It's easy to be on the other side and criticize or talk about how other fall into the trap of the enemy, how they got tempted, how did they fall. And I share in the episode earlier that it is not something that happened overnight. It is not something that happened just one morning and somebody suddenly is, we talk about in the episode, the previous episode about the faith notices that I was reading in the book that I'm reading. They mention about the faith notices. These are the news about the Christian or the faith leader who drop out of the faith race. And the situation and the circumstances, some of the stories involve about Christian or believers who drop out of faith because they either got caught into adultery. Some of them got caught with watching pornography and or addicted to pornography. Some of them left the race because of moving to college. And there were many different reasons of people dropping out of the race. And we talk about this faith called the faith tested, when faith is tested and that people can drop out. So if you have not listened to that episode, I encourage you to go listen to that episode, because there's some nuggets in there that you will be able to take with you. Now, today, as I was preparing for this, I wanted to go a little bit, well, not that I wanted, I just found myself gearing the word tested, to be tested, the faith and the word temptation comes into play. That when our faith tested, I believe somehow it starts with a little bit of temptation. And today I want to talk about the experience, right? We're talking about postpartum depression, how I'm learning about this faith and how it's growing, and my journey of understanding about the faith after being tested or the faith on the other side. So in this process, I wanted to share my personal story and testimony as well of overcoming sugar. Oh my goodness. About a few years ago, I found, uh, I just, I just got to a place, I share with you that I have such a strong self-awareness, and my faith is like my meter. Whenever I feel, this is even how I did identify that I was experiencing postpartum depression. It was how I began to see my faith. I felt some, a different and a shift that got me to investigate, why am I behaving like this? Why am I feeling this? It has been a while since I read my Bible. What's going on? And it was also in this process that I began to realize, wait a minute. I'm addicted to sugar. I am addicted to sugar, and that there's something that needs to be done about it. And that's where I discovered the book by Wendy. I can't remember her last name. I don't have the book in front of me here. I didn't expect to talk about the Wendy book, but it's a 40 days sugar fast book. And it's literally a devotion that takes you through the process of sugar detoxing, but a fast. If you want to do a sugar fast, that's a book that I would recommend, because it takes you daily through devotion and reflection to get you to think about what got you into the sugar anyway. I've never was a person that indulge in sugar or any of that. I love dessert. I really, really love dessert. But I found myself, and I believe one of the things that came out of postpartum depression was this craving for sugar. And it was one of the things that I believe got developed as a coping mechanism, where I'll feel so down. And for those who knows this, you know, don't leave me hanging out here by myself, okay? You know, that whenever you feel down, you want to eat chocolate. Whenever you feel down, for some of y'all, you go grocery shopping, or you go, you know, window shopping, or you go, what is this? You go clothes shopping. You go to spend money and buy yourself some shoes, you know. For different people, it's different way. But I realized for me was whenever I will be down, I'll crave sugar. I want to eat a cupcake. I was not even eating like my favorite chocolate, like Snicker bars or any of these other ones. But I'll find myself just indulging in sugar. And I thought, wait, this is too much sugar. I'd never had before tea with sugar. I used to drink my tea raw, just plain tea. But I'll eat dessert, okay? I don't mess with my dessert. I love dessert. But and then I got to realize how much it wasn't just anymore about having the dessert, like the sweet after big meal or a lunch or a dinner. It wasn't anymore about that. It was a moment of like I found like, I need sugar. And the moment I have my sugar, I feel relieved. And I went in that moment, as I was going through this awareness, realized, it's like, no, this is a problem. We're eating way too much sugar, and that we need to do something about it. And this is what I learned from my experience about sugar fast and temptation. How do we overcome this temptation that leads us to the fall, that lead us to drop out of the race? Remember, we're talking about the faith that is tested and how some have dropped off. It's not fair for those that are still in the race. You know, there's that story in the Bible where Jesus is talking about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And that the Pharisee and the tax collector both goes into the temple. And when they get there, the Pharisee kind of look at the tax collector, and his prayer is like, me, I'm this righteous. I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm not like him. I did not do it like that, right? We've been there at some point where we were that Pharisee. we think, man, how did they drop out of the faith? How can he be a minister or she be a woman of God and be addicted to those kind of things? How can he be a pastor and be cheating on his wife? Well, faith get tested. And one of the things that happen is the temptation. If we do not be careful of these, I call them baits, we will fall. It's not because one lady that I had interviewed in the past when I hosted a women summit, the summit Chosen Women Summit. It was a 3-hour conference we had interviewing different women in different walk of life. And one of the lady that I interviewed was a woman who have been in prison, was a millionaire, and ended up in prison for some minor thing. And this is what she said. She said, Joy, many people, she said, I never thought about that one day I will end up in prison. She said, many people could be in prison. It's just that some are not caught. And you get to think about that into the context that we're talking about today. Many can fall. It's just that you have not fallen. You maybe, or you have not been tested to the point of falling. The grace that's been given unto you that you still not discovered of the uncovered sin. That could be a good conversation too. Uncovered sin. Uncovered sin. But nonetheless, let's continue on our journey of the sugar fasting and overcoming the temptation of cravings. So we do not just begin craving to watch things like pornography or to cheat on our spouse or to decide and say, I don't want to go to church anymore. There's something that triggered it, and it is an accumulation of ongoing things that we have not addressed. Because we have not addressed certain things and we continue to just, it's justifying it, you know, just a little bit today, you know, tomorrow I will stop, you know, after all, I'm the supervisor, after all, you know, it's that little bit. And I want to walk you through the process of sugar fasting, what I have discovered, with the hope that this can help you who may be going through this process of about to drop out because your faith has been tested and you're dealing with temptation. And now you feel like I'm the worst of it. I might as well just come out and deal with it that way. First of all, is recognizing that you are having these craving, right? What I come to learn about sugar fasting is that you have to learn to deny self to the pleasure of what seem to be sweet. Let me say that again. You have to deny self to the pleasure that seem to be sweet in the moment. What is that? That's pleasure that you're finding sweet in the moment is that as a result of what? Of a triggering mechanism, or there is a situation or circumstances underlying or underneath that is at work or playing, that the enemy is playing with and using this craving, I'm going to call it craving, this urges, this temporary sweet as a relief to deal, or as a mechanism to deal with what is happening. For example, I told you I'm going to use a sugar fast as an example of the process that I have learned. It says the moment I began to to notice. And I believe that's the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit began to convict us, that I realized that, wait, I'm eating way too much sugar. I'm addicted to sugar. When I confess that, when I declare that, I began to look, why am I suddenly, it's never been something that I had before, but why am I suddenly becoming sugar addict? Why am I eating? Why am I desiring? That's the word. Why am I desiring sugar like this level? And I began to trace the moment that I'm wanting sugar. It's either I am stressed out or overwhelmed, right? And this is what they call emotional eating. And as emotionally eating, I began to trace now, okay, I identify first, number one, that I am addicted to sugar. I'm craving sugar more than normal. Number two is, what is this craving connected to? Then I realize it's connected to an emotion. What is the number three is, what is that emotion that is underplayed that is causing this effect of wanting sugar? So the addiction is on the surface, but what is underneath, right? What is underneath is what you got to identify. The emotional eating, the stress, it's the what? It's what's happening. So what then we go to the next layer is, what is the cause of this stress? For me, the cause of the stress was what? Hormonal imbalance. How do I deal with hormonal imbalance is what? By taking either vitamins, the doctor prescribes some vitamins, described iron, described vitamin D's and other things that needed to boost the hormone back up. This is why it's very important for mothers to continue the prenatal vitamins even after giving birth. Why? Because there's some element in there, you cannot have it. And if you have a good doctor like mine, you know, you ask them to prescribe that over the counter, not the over the counter, but to the prenatal ones that they know that will be good for you. Because not every prenatal over the counter is good. All right. That's another conversation for another time. But you discover that. So now you begin to what? To deal with the underlying situation, which was the hormonal imbalance that triggered a sensitivity to become overwhelmed, stressed out, anxiety, and all this stuff. And then on the surface is, let me just have sugar to relieve, and I feel relief, and I feel peace, and I'm me again. Now, the danger of that road is this, which is what I believe, when it's not taken care of at the moment that we have become aware of, then that's where the enemy realizes you are manipulable. I guess that's a word. Manipulable. That means that he can easily manipulate you. That means you open a door for him to begin to track you. Okay, she got her hormonal imbalance as a result of what? Postpartum, right? Her hormonal balance is down. But now whenever she gets stressed out, she flee or she runs toward what? She runs toward the sugar. So now he will start creating opportunities or moment where you will be stressful, where you will be overwhelmed, where you will feel anxiety, so you can run toward the what? The mechanism that make you feel connected. This automatically causes you to what? To become dependent of the thing outwardly, instead of what? Relinquishing or trusting God to what? To heal you. Sugar became that tool. the stronghold will use to hold me captive. Why? Because I had opened a door, because I had demonstrated a behavior that whenever I felt stress or anxious, sugar helped me feel much better. To overcome sugar or any of this for you, it may be a different bait. I call it bait. Sugar became the bait that the enemy will use to trap me. For you, it may be he's using, you may be, let me say for another example, it could be, for example, somebody's cheating on their spouse, right? What's the root and the cause of cheating on one spouse? Most probably likely it is the stress in the home. What kind of stress is in the home? It's probably financial stress. Probably like mother postpartum, mother, the wife have changed because now her body, her hormone have transitioned her. When you're single, your hormone is dealing the same way. You're like flying and shaking, you know, everything is good. But the moment you conceive, your hormone as a woman begins to change within you. And when that change, the thing that you didn't snap, the men didn't change. Some men, most men, 99%, they don't change after a baby's born. They're still men. But a woman, you change. And that can shift the atmosphere in the home. The things that didn't make you snap before make you snap. So now you wondering, okay, we used to have fun. Why is he not doing this? The stress that is built in the home suddenly becomes something that will cause either one spouse to start looking at something else that is creating this, what I called earlier, the temporary sweet. What is that temporary sweet for you? Find out what's triggering it. Once you find out what's triggering it, then you get to find out the root of it so you can deal with the root of it. Otherwise, the cheating will begin just a little bit, right? For some, it'll be, I'm not cheating. I'm just watching a video, right? Or some will be a pop-up video of somebody with no clothes suddenly satisfy you. And before you know, it leads you to something more and more because you're desiring. And before you know it, it goes into the physical. For desiring this temporary sweet, you gotta find out what is the underlying cause. Once you define that underlying cause, let me tell you, then it is a matter of like what God told Cain. It's Cain, yes, Abel and Cain. You know, Cain was the one who had the fruits and the vegetables, and Abel brought this wonderful offering of the sheep that he tended and he cared for. And what? Cain became jealous of his brother. Why did he become jealous? It didn't happen just the day of the offering. No. Because how do you know? I know, I can tell it by God's response or reaction to Cain. He said to Cain, if you did what is right, didn't you think that you'll be accepted? In other words, it's not like when your child does something wrong the first day, it doesn't usually upset a parent. Usually it does not. A good parent, it will not upset you. You'll be like, okay, that's a first mistake. Okay, let's move on. Let's fix it. But when the mistakes continues to occur and reoccur and reoccur, you're going to get to a place where you'll be like with your child, say, hey, listen, there's something we got to fix here now because this is a behavior that is continuing. And I believe that's what God was with Cain. Cain was like, hey, if you do what is right, do what is right. Stop looking at your brother and thinking what you're thinking. Be careful what is the thought that you're having, because what? The sin is knocking at your door. If you're not careful and master it, it will overpower you. That's a Joy Edition commentary there. But he says, master it. Master it, like conquer it. Conquer the thought that's constantly coming into your mind to deceive you, to trap you. Because if you do not, there are consequences for it. And I believe that's the same thing. We begin slowly, the thought that come to our mind before we know it. Cain had what? Hurt, killed his brother. So before we know it, if we do not deal with that temptation right away, or when we see it, or where we become aware of it, then it will lead to something where I call we become captive of it. Before the enemy hold you captive, then you master it first, meaning overcome it. All right. So I'm going to give you, so with through, how do we overcome this temptation? Well, know the root of it. You got to know the root and the cause. What's causing it for you to have this addiction? Begin to do the tracking of when it happened. Begin to track the tracking the moment you crave the sugar, the moment you crave to watch certain things, the moment what is triggering, what's the root of it? And then recognize the signs of the trigger. The moment you recognize the sign of the trigger, before the trigger goes off, because once the trigger goes off is when we are unable to control ourselves anymore. But recognize the trigger, the signs of the trigger. Ooh, I'm being triggered right now. I want to eat sugar. I want to eat sugar. I want to go get some sugar. I want to get some sugar. Those are the trigger. What's triggering right there in that moment of like, I want to eat. I want to watch. I want to do. Is for you to find out what is triggering this, right? In this now time that we love to use the word trigger. Oh, I'm triggered by this. That's demonic. That's not good. There's something that is taking a hold of you to cause you to act a certain way. Now, once you know the root, you recognize the sign, put a bait in the open space. Try to put the bait in the open space. For me, what I did was, even in the book, it actually recommended this, is take the cupcake, the sugary thing, and put it in the open space. Every time you see that cupcake, it became, at least to me, a reminder that you're sugar fasting. Try not to hold it. Try not to touch it. Master it. If you know that I can't put an image of pornography on my computer in the open space, then right there you know this is something that is wrong that I'm doing. So put it there. Okay. Or, you know, AA meeting is like the open space. Say that I'm addicted to this. I don't know if you want to put it on your social media page, but put it in the open space so that you know I've already declared this in the open space. I need now to do what? I need to watch out for it when it triggers me. James 4:8 says what? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This is a moment. You begin to pray, to ask God for strength to overcome it. Number two, you gotta determine to be not double-minded. Because if other people are around you, let's say 24/7, you won't be watching those things. So when people are not there, that's when you watch it. That means you're double-minded. That's James 48 say. You can't draw near to God if you're double-minded. So you have to draw near to God. Ask God to give you strength to overcome this because you want to draw closer to Him. Determine. Have a no double mind. Like, then 1 minute I'm envious and next minute I'm okay. No. Determine. I'm not going to have double mind. And then when it's so, so hard, cry out to God. Just cry out, God, I need you. Because now it is the power only of God that can save you and that can heal you and that can protect you. Okay? So you go and find out what it is you need to cry out to God. Start crying out to God. So number one, I say from Genesis 4, is that we have to master. Know the root of the cause of the craving. What is it? What is that causing that stressful life or overwhelming life that leads you to want to watch, to touch, to do, so that you may overcome it? Recognize the signs that triggers it. Put a bait in the open space, meaning your bait, that whatever it is, right? For me, it was sugar. So I have to put sugar cupcake in the open space. Whatever that you're dealing with that you need to overcome, that is testing your faith, the temptation, put it in the open space. And then from James 4:8, we are invited and called or guided, recommended to do what? To be drawing closer to God. How do you draw closer to God? Read your Bible daily. Pray. Ask God for strength to overcome it. And number two, be determined to not have a double mind. Be determined not to have a double mind. And the last one, cry out when it's hard. Cry out when it's hard. All right? Cry out to God when it's hard. Everything that we do may seem hard at the moment, but guess what? You are able to overcome. Do not drop out of your faith journey. You can overcome with the strength of the Lord. Let's talk to God. My Lord and my God, thank you for this teaching, for this moment, oh God. My Father, as we come boldly to your throne, my God, we lift up today, my Father, those who are right now in the place where their faith is being tested and their face with temptation of all kind. My Lord, I ask for strength. The strength to overcome the temptation. The strength to make up the mind, to be determined to not become double-minded. My Lord, this person who's listening right now, they've been struggling with this issue for a while now. And they're trying to find their way out. And it seems like maybe giving up on faith seems to be easier. Maybe they think giving up going to church is the easiest thing, Lord. because the enemy have used this bait for so long. Oh, Heavenly Father, send your help, my God. May this message, Father God, become that message that will encourage this person and give them strength to overcome the scheme of the enemy, my Lord. That they may rise up in faith in the name of Jesus. And as they rise up in faith, my Lord, may they rise up victoriously. May they rise up knowing that God, you are still on the throne, that you are with them. My Lord, as you did, as we saw in the case of Job, my God. Oh my God, you are so proud of Job. You saw him, my God, a man with integrity, a man of good character. You saw that, my God, that he was someone who shunned evil. He was persistent, my Lord, that even when his friends came and wanted him to confess his sin, but because he knew where he was standing, he understood his faith was in you and that no other. My God, when the fire was over, oh yes, my Lord, you rewarded him even greater than before. My God, may this person, Father, remain till the end and be able to see the victory at the end and be able to receive the promises of the gospel of the good news that God, your word says, you will never leave nor forsake them. My Lord, I thank you and I bless your name because God, the same way you were with Job, you are with us today. We give you thanks and praise for the testimony and for the victory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My friend, this is it for today. I hope this message has blessed you and I look forward to our next episode because let me tell you, as I always share, there's something good happening and about to start in the fall. Go to GodImprint.com and just familiarize with the website because we're going to be starting something in this fall called Breathing Spa, and I'm excited and I look forward to be sharing more and more about it as we come closer. With that being said, have a blessed day, and until next time, remember, stay in faith.